Book Scavenger, Chapter 7. If it weren't for the pile of mementos honoring Mr. Griswold, a person might pass the corner and never guess something horrible had happened there. A poster board leaned against the railing. It read, "Get well soon, Mr. Griswold. Your city needs you." Flowers, candles, stuffed animals, and cards were in the pile, but more than any other item, there were books. Lots and lots of books, as if all the people in the city had brought their favorites just for Mr. Griswold. "I feel like we should have left something," Emily said. James looked like in the nail bag and then held his grandmother's vegetables. He pulled out a bunch of leafy greens. "Bok choy?" Emily dropped to one knee and opened her backpack. She tore a piece of paper from her notebook and folded it into a makeshift card. She and James crouched on the sidewalk to write a note and sign it. James also signed Steve, with three little lines coming up from the second E like a cowlick. Emily held the card up to Matthew. "What, you should sign it too." "I don't even know the guy." "Sign it, Matthew." With a grumble, Matthew held out his hand for Maker. When Emily took the card back, she read when Matthew wrote, "My sister is bummed about what happened to you, so she's making me sign this. Get well soon, Mr. Candyman." "Matthew, you can't write that, and I've told you before, the Willy Wonka nickname has nothing to do with candy. He makes books." "Fine, I'll fix it." He took the card back, crossed out Mr. Candyman, and wrote, "Old book dude." "That's even worse." Emily snatched the paper from Matthew and crumpled it in her hands. "So where did it happen anyway?" Matthew asked. "Do you think he was standing right here?" Emily shivered. "Creepy! I don't want to think about that." "I think it was down in the station," James said. "I'm going to check it out." Matthew was halfway down the stairs before Emily or James could say another word. "Matthew, get back here!" Emily yelled after him. Emily and James clambered down the stairs after him. The air grew warmer and more stale with every step until they were underground, standing next to Matthew, who panicked to the area with the video on the smartphone. The station was an expanse of slick-walled cave with flickering overhead lights. Slow, faraway notes with a clarinet player Emily couldn't see made her think the station must stretch pretty far back from where they stood. Bright advertisement posters for Beach Blanket Babylon, Tetro's and Zami, and other San Francisco businesses were framed and hanged along the walls and on columns. A woman walked down the stairs behind them and straight through the fair gate, like she did this all the time. Up ahead, a group entered from a farther entrance and turned to walk away from the opposite end of the station. Did these people even realize what they were or know what violent thing had happened here just one day before? Thanks to her brother's earlier question, Emily couldn't stop wondering where Mr. Griswold had been when he was mugged. Was he arriving on a train or downstairs waiting for one? She didn't want to be thinking like that, which of course made it all the more difficult to stop. "Let's get out of here," Emily said. As she turned to leave, she lobbed a crumpled ball of her ruined card at a trash can, but it came up a few feet short. When she bent down to pick up her litter, she spotted the maroon edge of a book jammed between the can and the wall. "No way," she said. She pried the book loose from its spot and held it up. "A hidden book!" "Is that for Book Scavenger?" James asked. "The Gold Bug," Emily read the title. It would totally make up for Babbage poaching her book if this was, in fact, for Book Scavenger. She slipped the cover open. "There's no tracking label on this inside. You're assigned a unique tracking number when you register a book with Book Scavenger. You print the number on a label and put it inside the book. But sometimes people forget or they don't care about tracking the book, so they don't print the label and put it inside. But this must have been right. Why would someone throw this away? It looks brand new." "I'll leave it on my card, just in case." She crouched by the trash can just before she could place her card. James nudged her. "Your brother?" "Matthew, what are you doing? You actually carry this around in your pockets?" "A devoted swirly carries flush paraphernalia all the time. That's rule number one. Rule number 2 is flush adornment makes the world a better place. Besides, stickier slapping never hurt anyone. Do you not see the sign? Directly above him was a sign that read, "No vandalism. Violators will be prosecuted." Matthew waved a hand dismissively. That's like a beware of dog sign for Chihuahua owners. Nobody's even here. This place is practically empty. Practically is not the same as totally, James said, shifting from foot to foot as he eyed two men who had come into view on the far side of the station. Cut it out, seriously, Emily said. She hastily slid her calling card behind the trash can, adjusting it so it could be seen by someone looking for it, but not special as trash. She stood and nodded toward the approaching men. Those guys are watching us. One was short and squat, the other tall and thin as a lamppost. The men were uncomfortably focused on them. If there were any doubt about that, it was squashed when the short man punched his friend on the arm and stabbed a finger in their direction. The tall man cupped a hand around his mouth and shouted, "Hey, you kids, stop!" "Matthew, you idiot!" Emily said. "Undercover security! Run!" Matthew shouted. They flew to the staircase. Emily still clutched her new book. James pushed past Matthew when they hit the sidewalk. "Follow Steve!" James shouted. His spiky stuff bobbed wildly as they ran. James headed back in the direction of the ferry building. They hurled flowers and stuffed animals, pounding down the brick-laid sidewalk until they reached a wall of people lining up to board a bus. "Excuse us," James shouted as they dove through the line. James turned a corner by the bucket man, who was still beating his makeshift drums in frenzy. They ran toward the empty outdoor mall, the splattering of an immense concrete fountain urging them on. Emily looked over her shoulder. The men were still behind them, rounding past the bucket man. "Keep running!" he shouted to James and Matthew. James turned up past a bakery and entered the mall. Glass-fronted stores passed by in a blur. Then James turned sharply and hustled upstairs. There was nothing but the sound of their feet pounding until finally they slowed to a stop outside the public restrooms. "I think we lost them," Matthew said between gasps. "Quiet!" James held a finger to his lips. Emily, James, and Matthew hugged the wall next to the restrooms to stay out of view of anyone on the lower level until footsteps thundered beneath them and then faded. A man swore, which echoed in the empty shopping center. Another voice said, "I told you they circled back to the park. Come on!" Emily counted to 100 in her head, and then, when she was certain the men were gone, turned to her brother, her face hot from running and growing hotter with anger. "Matthew!" She thwacked him with a book still gripping in her hand. "I can't believe you!" "Jeez, chill out!" Matthew wiped sweat from his forehead with a corner of his t-shirt. Who would have thought security guards could get so worked up over a stupid bumper sticker?